Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Tanusha Naidu, apparently we've managed to get hold of you. How are you?
I'm okay. Sorry about that.
No problem at all. All right. So why does the ANC, how does the ANC survive?
Is that a rhetorical question?
No, it's real because, you know, we've got good people and they leave the ANC or they leave other parties or they form parties and those parties struggle. They just don't seem to get the momentum that is needed for, in order to become a serious contender. What does the ANC have that other parties don't?
I think it's not so much about what the ANC has that other parties don't, that other parties do not have. I think it's more a question of how the landscape has been changing over time. I mean, I think if you want to draw on the breakaway factions from the ANC, you know, it started off with Bantu Wanamisa, then you had COPE, you had, and of course you had the you had Julius Malema, and then of course that led to the EFF. I think the problem with parties or the way in which parties construct themselves outside of the bigger parties. So I'm not talking about the ANC. I'm not talking about the DA, but I'm talking about parties like COPE and UDM, and of course, you know, let's not forget Patricia de Lille's Independent Democrats and now the Good Party, etc. I think for that moment in time, they tend to represent something that may be considered and construed as an alternative, but it's a very limited alternative. They also don't necessarily, at times, are able to contest in the national and provincial, but where they become quite critical and significant actors are at the local government election. And I think that is why this forthcoming local government election is going to be key to the question of how not just smaller political parties, but even those associations that turned into political movements have become kingmakers or queenmakers, if you want to be gender sensitive, in municipalities where they have much more of the kind of traction that the bigger political parties may not have. So I think when you're really asking the question about what makes the ANC have staying power or what makes the DA have staying power, et cetera, I think we're looking at it at a very, very macro level. But I think we've got to start percolating our bird-eye view into how the micro and the real grassroots level is going to be critical for the smaller parties in local government elections. And of course, you know, the other thing to keep a watching brief on is whatever happens in terms of this local government election on the 1st of November, analysts and commentators have been saying that it is a precursor to how things will play out at the national level. So I think for me, the challenge is whether or not the voters that come out and say, well, I'm going to vote for this party because I believe that that individual is there and they have the traction. What happens to them as they move forward? And we've seen this in the context of UDM, COPE, et cetera, internal battle lines, internal legitimacy crises, and so forth.
Yeah, it is interesting because one does wonder why, given the amount of knowledge that everybody in the country has, it's impossible not to know about ANC and corruption. In fact, it's probably, from a marketing perspective, one of the worst branded, well, one of the worst brands in South Africa at the moment is the ANC. It's the one brand you don't want to be associated with, because I can tell you that if you woke people up in the middle of the night and said, give me three words that you associate with ANC. In fact, let's do that with our listeners, 34519 or 0618951019. The first three words that come into mind when you think of the ANC, send them to me. And there's no doubt, I mean, I don't want to influence the outcome, but there's no doubt they're not going to be positive. So that means that the brand is not a good brand, but yet people go back to it. Does this, is this because we don't feel confident about alternatives?
Yeah, I mean, I think let me put it to you this way. I think the question of imaging, branding, and PR, the ANC has been its worst enemy on that, given the situation that we currently find in terms of whether there is trust in the party, the self-destruction, the faction of battle lines, the sabotage around the candidate list registration in the first period of registration for candidates. I mean, all of these things don't go well. And also, let's not forget the violence at the political assassination happening at the grassroots, where people are literally being bumped off lists, because it's now become almost a sense of desperation, because you have to be on the list because it's a job for you. It's a livelihood. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes all of that in terms of meshed together, and the disarray in the party has really caused serious blight on the party's ability to be cohesive, to be succinct, and to be able to speak in a kind of authoritative voice or have some kind of semblance of saying that we are a coherent party. But that does not mean that the voters are unaware of that. It does not mean that the voters, as you rightly point out, are completely sitting there and saying, well, you know, irrespective, we're still voting for this party. What we have to be careful of in this kind of analysis is actually understanding how the numbers are calculated. And it comes back to the question about the PR system. The PR system is a very, very complicated camouflaging system. It actually camouflages what people really think. If you go out to vote, because say, for example, in 2019, people went out to vote because there was this impression that Ramaphosa was going to turn it around. And so you never really voted for the party. You voted for a person who you felt had the ability and the trust at some level amongst the electorate, and had an affinity amongst the electorate to say that I'm voting for Ramaphosa. The problem is the PR candidate, the PR list system, actually creates a kind of false impression, because when you go into parliament and you actually then look at all the political parties who put up nominations for the president, it could very well be that you're not voting for a presidential candidate, you're voting for a political party. So that's the first weakness and vulnerability of our system. The second is that there are people on the ground that will remain loyal to the party, but not necessarily because the party represents something that they believe in, or they're completely loyal and they are diehard ANC supporters. We can't ignore that cohort of voters. Then there are those that basically just want to be in the party because, you know what, the party gives me a job. There's spoils to be had here. And so that's the third avenue. So I think we've got to be careful in terms of just saying that despite the fact that this party is in a PR implosion, that it still has staying power. I don't think it has staying power.